welcome to the Tuesday, March 9th, 2021, council agenda of the Region Queens Municipality. I'd like to call the meeting to order, remind anyone to please put their phone on mute. And changes approval of the agenda. Are there any changes to the agenda? If so, I'd ask for a motion for approval. Moved by Deputy Mayor Muse, seconded by Councilor McLeod. Amaro. That's a new advent. All those in favor of the agenda? Thank you. 3.1, Liverpool Curling Club. Welcome Lorna McPherson and Kim Smith. Do you want to, Lorna, are you doing the presentation or is Kim?
Kim's doing the presentation.
I'm moving.
Good morning, Madam Mayor. Morning, Council.
Morning.
Morning.
Everybody listening at home. My name is Tim Smith. I'm the president of the Liverpool Curling Club, joined with Lorna McPherson, who's our vice president. Thanks for the time today. We just wanted to come in today to give you a little update on where the curling club is at right now and some ideas on where we'd like to take the club as well. We're not asking for money today, but be rest assured that we'll be going down that avenue in the future. So just a little brief update on curling. Many of you may not know that curling actually arrived in Canada well before hockey did. Curling came into Canada about 1759, and hockey arrived here in Canada in 1875. Our curling club was formed in 1935, about 85 years old now. So a lot's been going on down on 108 Gorham Street. As mentioned, it's been a facility since 1935, active curling center. Curling begins for many at a very young age. We have youngsters as young as 4 or 5 years old that are starting curling, and then oftentimes people will continue curling right into their senior years, or so even more. I'll talk about that in a bit. As many of you know, we've got lots of great curlers that have come out of our club. Make note of Jill Brothers, who played in Scotties in Alberta just last week. She was an active curler here at the Liverpool Curling Club. We're not just a curling center. I know in the past, prior to my time, it was a thriving social hub. It was a private club at the time, but it's always been a spot where we can have weddings and dinners and dances, and I'm sure many of you have attended some of those. We host social events and public events like the Hospital Hustle. As you know, we were the site of the Canadian Junior Championship. We were a participant in the World Junior Championship that happened a couple of years ago. So a little recap of where we are today and where we want to be. Liverpool Curling Club is a volunteer organization. It was a private club, but I don't recall the year that switched over to a volunteer organization. We are governed by an elected board of directors that engage the membership and the community to help out on committees, provide expertise on many areas of the operations. We cook meals, we work the canteen, we work the bar. Our volunteers make the ice and manage the ice, maintain the ice. We're all very committed to the operations. Aside of the dinners and dances and other things that I previously mentioned, we also have hosted and will continue to host events like the International Theater Festival for the after parties. Hospital Hustle, again, We have signed an agreement with Nova Scotia Curling Association that will host two provincial bond spiels for the next 3 years. We'll continue to look to host dances and dinners once the pandemic kind of eases off and we can get back to regular activities. We have bingos and so much more. Not only are we well located in the heart of Liverpool, we're also the perfect sized venue for medium-sized functions. Our adult membership, over the years, our adult membership had been declining for a couple of years, but our junior program has always remained strong, and it continues to this day. This year, we've seen about a 20% increase in our membership on all categories. And reasons for that, you know, we noticed that even in the golf this past summer, due to the pandemic, people were looking for other activities to be stay active, and when you know people couldn't go to the Florida or, you know, do their winter vacations, many stuck around and looked for activities here in town, here in the region. Other reasons that we've seen a growth in our curling membership is stick curling. For those unfamiliar with stick curling, it's a great version of curling that you don't have to be as mobile, if you will. You don't have to slide out of the hat, but it gets people on the ice and gets people active. Other things that we try every year to bring attention to curling is our Learn to Curl program. We do a lot of outreach in the community to try to shine a brighter light on the Liverpool Curling Club. Many marketing initiatives, such as attending info sessions held by the region, done radio interviews, print interviews. Hopefully you've seen some signage around town to, again, point people to the Curling Club. Again, our junior program remains a significant part of our business plan, as we need to get young people interested in the sport now so that they can be our future leaders and to ensure that they can continue to play the game wherever they may move to, hopefully stick around in the area, but even if they move elsewhere, that they'll continue the love of the game. In 2017, there was a resurgence in activity at the club. We had some very energetic people that worked tirelessly to give the club interior an update with new paint and carpet. 2019, as many of I'm sure have seen, we've got a new roof and a new ceiling in the clubhouse. Those were installed because we had significant leaks and damage. Had we not done this work, the fate of Liverpool Curling Club would be written, but the membership and the community insisted that we had to find a way to make this work financially. So we took out a loan, sought fundraising opportunities, and fortunately, we were gifted with some money to pay down the debt in less than a year. While we are in a better place than we were 7 years ago, our facility is aging quickly and is in need of significant upgrades to our ice plant and our ice shed. We also require electrical and kitchen upgrades to bring our facility to today's standards. Through some very committed board members and other committee members, the past 2 years, we've undertaken extensive assessments to understand the physical condition of our building, the current state of equipment, and to determine cost to upgrade. Our revitalization plan is focused on providing a comfortable space in our ice shed and clubhouse for everyone in the region of Queens. We want to continue to welcome people from around the province, country, and the world, as we've done in the past. Our curling season is only 5 months long, but we have an underused ice shed the rest of the year. We'll be launching a fundraiser soon to announce to address the condition of the floor to make it safer and more attractive to host a wide variety of functions 12 months per year. As we all know, curb appeal is a very important aspect of making buildings welcoming. We're looking to address that as well. With a paved parking lot, cleaned up front yard, and new entrance and new signage, our new roof, these will go towards curb appeal. Our new roof was an important first step in improving that curb appeal. Of course, all these things come at a cost, require lots of people to pitch in to help. As stated earlier, the membership and the community have always found time to help, and we anticipate that when called upon, that help will be there again. Swimming clubs are the heart of a community. If you look around most rural areas in Canada, you'll see that there is an active curling club. And we're very fortunate to be located right in the heart of Liverpool, but also in the heart of the region of Queens. We're easily accessed by all areas in the region. Moving forward, we want to be more of a community hub. We're very fortunate to have so many valuable and important facilities in our region, naming just a few: Astor Theatre, Queens General Hospital, Queens Place, community centers, beaches, lakes, campgrounds, walking trails, etc. What do these all have in common? They're available to the general public and make Region of Queens a highly sought-after destination to retain current residents and to attract new residents and visitors. The curling club is a marketing tool that the region can and should be using. We're going to be very active to increase our curling participation by reaching out to all schools, all community clubs, all demographics to introduce curling for those that may not have considered this great recreational opportunity. We want to follow the lead of the region's efforts to encourage everyone to be more active, and we have that active, we have a facility that you can be active in. Curling certainly falls in line here, and we will explore ways to use our facility for more recreational options. For those that have looked at our curling fees, we're very affordable, probably less expensive than you might think. But with that, the board of directors will explore ways to ensure that curling is more accessible to those that maybe can't afford our fees. As you may know, we are not currently an accessible building, but that is a top priority for us. Just to give you a walk through our building, if you haven't been there before, and come in the front door, you have a series of steps that you gotta go to get to our clubhouse level. And if you want to go to the curling shed from there, you gotta go down four steps, or you have to go outside to access the ice shed. None of these scenarios are ideal, but like I said, it is a top priority for us. This does not speak to an accessible building. Our new entranceway will provide access to the clubhouse and curling shed for those that have mobility challenges. We invite every resident of Region of Queens to follow what we are doing via social media channels, postings around the region, and come and check us out as we progress through this revitalization. I have to thank the region staff for being very supportive in helping us to promote our curling programs and funding initiatives. 108 Gorham Street, the location of Liverpool Curling Club, is a community center. We want it to be a community center. Just like any business, though, we have bills to pay. These bills are significantly higher during the curling season. As you will have noted, we undertake many fundraising events throughout the year. The Toonie Draw that we share with Liverpool Privateers is a significant one, but so too are the dinners, dances, and other events that we host. We will soon be launching a new fundraiser to have our curling rocks refurbished. We're offering, for those that want to sponsor a curling stone to help us with this cost, that you can engrave the handles. We've got information on our website and our Facebook page. So far the response has been awesome. Past couple of years, we've put an increased focus on attracting new revenue streams. We would have had a couple of big events last year had the pandemic not changed our plans. With all the planned revitalization efforts, we are confident that there's a business model to attract off-season recreation opportunities, workshops, meetings, community artisan functions, and partnering with community groups that need an alternate or larger location. So, how are we going to get there? We've got lots of big plans. As I mentioned before, we've been very fortunate. When we need help, we ask the members, we ask the community to step up, and the response is, without hesitation, How can we do it? When do you need the help? The revitalization project at current count has almost 20 people volunteering their time to make this work. Strength in numbers. As we continue on this journey, we know that number is going to increase significantly. People will be intrigued by what we are hoping to accomplish, which is part of the reason that Lauren and I are here today, to start to build that anticipation. There's no community without unity. My partner and I, we moved to the area 7 years ago. And I got involved with the curling club almost 6 years ago. Having not been a curler, but wanted to learn the game, and I also wanted to get involved. In a short time, I saw how people pulled together to get things done. It was quite a remarkable thing to witness. This unity approach is very apparent in every area of the region. And I have comfort in knowing that the community will be united in our efforts. We are a curling facility. So the big focus for our revitalization is to ensure that we do not disrupt our curling season. We have seen what happens to curling interest when we do so, and when we do shut down prematurely. We will be limiting the first year of the project on the ice shed, so there won't be as much activity available in the ice shed the first year, but going forward, we're gonna be open for business, open for activity. We have made it a mantra of this project on how we're gonna succeed to use local contractors as much as possible. We want to source products locally as much as possible. We have so many businesses in the area that support us over the years, and it's our turn to support them. The majority of our upgrades will be focused on efficiencies. Using today's technology to help keep our direct costs down and to reduce our carbon footprint. Our ice shed is currently very cold, those that have been in there, and many people have commented that this is a primary reason why they choose not to curl. By beefing up our insulation, this will allow people to curl in a light sweater, or short sleeves for that matter, making their experience much more enjoyable. Every aspect of our facility will be scrutinized to ensure that our efforts now will ensure that we continue to reap the rewards of cost efficiency for many years to come. We are more than a Liverpool facility. We are not an exclusive club. We recognize that we need to grow as an operation. So we have embarked on a rebranding initiative to incorporate all of the elements that I mentioned earlier: community, recreation, inclusiveness, and a hub. We want to be clear that we are not kicking 85 years out the front door to make way for a new name or a new way of doing things. Liverpool Curling Club is an important part of the history of this town. There's lots of history within the four walls. A lot of great curlers have honed their game in the Liverpool Curling Club. Liverpool Curling Club, by name, will be recognized in unique ways as we move forward. With so many new people moving to the region and so few current residents using our facility, we have come to learn that there are a surprising number of people that aren't even aware of where we are. This rebranding will come with a very strong marketing initiative to demonstrate the benefits of curling, why we exist, and also the vast number of uses that we can use our facility for. Over the past few years, and I'll say it again, we've been incredibly fortunate to have individuals show their support to what we are trying to achieve. Again, we started our revitalization in 2017, and we continue to march forward due to this continued support. Our MLA, Kim Maslin, sent us a message after we discussed our current scope of work with her, and I think that it eloquently illustrates what a curling center, the community's curling center, means to our community. And for those at home, I'm just gonna read what she sent us. This project will meet the unique needs of a rural community, help strengthen and grow local economy, improve social inclusiveness, provide an accessible space for events, meetings, recreation, and cultural activities to meet the region of Queens growing demand. I thank Kim for providing us that. The support that we get from the community gives us buoyancy. To continue fighting for this grand old building and grow the game of curling. Over the years, young kids have grown to be not just exceptional curlers, but exceptional people. The teamwork that you see in the game of curling sets us all up for those same skills in everyday life. Curling is an analogy for life. We learn to work as a unit, we celebrate our victories, and we learn from our misfortunes. The fact that we have so many curlers and parents of curlers asking how they can help speaks volumes of what a curling facility in a community can offer short-term and long-term. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. That was most interesting. Questions or comments for either Tim or Lorna? Please. Councillor Fancy.
Yes, Tim. Where do you, you said you had about 20% growth. Where, now you always had it grew with the stick curling, right? That gets a lot of the people went from they couldn't curl properly because they couldn't bend over anymore, so they went to stick curling. Have you reached the youth? I mean, that's the hardest ones to get through to. Have you made any headway in that direction?
Absolutely, Jack. Thanks for the question. Yes, I would say across the board, we're 20% increase. That mirrors with the junior program. We've increased our junior membership about 20%. They're small numbers,
yeah,
but we are growing, and there's some interest. And we are looking at another aggressive plan to grow that junior membership. We had a lot of interest from the schools this year, more than in past years. Due to COVID, we couldn't host them, but we were looking at upwards of 80 kids coming into at least spend a week, or a couple days rather, curling. So
good.
I think if we continue to do that, we'll see that program grow quickly.
Good. Thank you.
If I could add to that, at the beginning of the season, we actually had a meeting with parents and the juniors who were interested in participating, and opening the dialogue, because we want to hear from the youth. How can we make this a youth environment and venue that kids want to come, not only for curling but for other social activities? So we made it very clear that they have a voice at the table. We're not going to be planning for them. We want to be part of the development of what the junior program could look like.
Okay, thank you.
Other comments? Councilor Brown.
I like the plans that you've put forward, and it looks like you've got a decent grasp on where things are going to go. I really liked seeing that you want to have a good business plan, a sustainable business model. That's very important now, and I'm happy to see that included in there.
Councilor Charlton?
I just like to thank you for that presentation. I learned a lot through that, and I look forward to trying curling because I actually never have.
Welcome you.
Any other comments or questions before I hear from Councillor Fancy? Councillor Fancy?
Yeah, I'm intrigued too with what you're talking about, making it a social center. Since your location with the high school and the middle school is very good, you know, I mean, it's close proximity for a lot of walking and things like that. Are you going to be looking at not a drop-in center, so to speak, but to have some place where kids could come after school or could do computer work, or, you know, I don't know. So I don't know, but just saying things as, because really there's no place for them to go right at this particular time.
That's a fair question. The community center can be a number of things, and primarily we want to be a resource for everybody in the community. As far as to quote a drop-in center, and we'll definitely take that into consideration. There are, because we're a volunteer-run organization, we have to make sure that the building is manned. But along with, and I failed to mention, in the rebranding effort, we are looking to have a couple young people sit on our committee, so that they can give us some feedback as to what they need. Again, they're our future board of directors, so it's important for them to get their buy-in right away.
Any right with, we need unity to have community. You've got great plans there. I, for one, am familiar with your facility, curled a few times, not too often. Stick curling, though, looks wonderful. I think when I take up curling, it's going to be stick curling again. And I wish you well in your endeavors. You are correct. You do sit in a very important part of our downtown core. And what goes on in your area is very important when we look at Liverpool as a whole and Queens as a whole. We're only a quick hop, skip, and a jump to Caledonia, the curls part of the world. And I know you had looked at a in-school program, curling program out there. So good luck. I look forward to your fundraising initiatives, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tabling of petitions. Are there any petitions to table today? If not, moving right along to item number 5, public question comment session. I'd like to remind everyone to please give your name, civic address, and limit your comment or question to 5 minutes.
Under 10.1, the solid waste tender. I see notice there that they were going to want tender received, so you didn't have too much choice. But it's up 30% over the 5-year period, close to $4 million. And any idea how many cents that'll make on the tax rate? Additional for this additional cost? Is that going to work out at this point?
That number we'll discuss when we do our budget negotiation, but you are correct. There was one tender issued. One tender only was received, and it is up 30%.
Thank you. And under 3.3, this evening you're going to have a presentation from the local fire departments. And as we know, they're requesting funding increase there. And it's something that you have to give serious consideration to, because it is an essential service for the region municipality. And I'm not sure whether I'll be here this evening or not, but it certainly requires council to give serious consideration.
Yes, that indeed will take consideration, and you're correct that we will just sort of halt our
recess.
We're recessed when we're finished our business today. Resume this evening at 7 p.m. for the fire chiefs, and if you do plan to attend, keep in mind our gallery is only 10 people. We'll have 5 chiefs, and I know they wish to bring their deputies, so we'll reserve the chairs for the chiefs. And other than that, it's first come, first served.
Yeah,
so just keep that in mind if you're coming
I'm
back.
I'm not going to leave here anyway, but I would appreciate the comments. Thank you, Mayor.
You're welcome. Anyone else? Public comment, question period.
Jeff Percy, P-E-R-C-Y, 7343 Highway 3, Somerville. J.L. Percy, all lowercase, at yahoo.com, if anybody wants to join the club, the fan club. You all know me from emails that I've sent to you about the issue of the audio-video system. And its cost and its timing. I only have 5 minutes. I was going to bring my timer, but I thought perhaps once I got going, you might not want to stop me. I come bearing a gift, some insight that I probably am the only one that has in terms of the amount of time I've spent watching the proceedings of your meetings where you have discussed this issue. It's an issue that started out around $35,000 to $40,000 and involved demolishing this room, closing it to public meetings for 6 to 8 months, requiring Zoom meetings. Nobody was too thrilled about that. But I wasn't even going to come today. I figured you decided you're going to do your RFP. You put reserve funds towards it, which I understand given the time frame. And in the middle of the night, 3:15 precisely this morning, I woke up and I said, I know what they want. They may not know what they want, but anyone who's seen the three meetings, the December 8th, the 22nd, and the February 23rd, has to be able to recognize that this is a very inefficient and ineffective system or format for you guys to work with and to come up with decisions about something that's as complex as this, though it really isn't, in this room. So, you know, I know Councillor Fancy wants to make sure that everything is done by the book and we don't spend any more money than we need to. I won't go through all of you, but one of the things you all agree on is you don't want to spend any more money than necessary. But you've got a system where you've got a concept, you've got electronics, you've got, you know, audio, video conferencing stuff. Nobody here has a really solid grasp of what that involves. Although, you go online, I was online this morning, I sent you a link, you can find this, all these systems that exist for businesses and organizations, for web conferencing, for audio video systems, for conference rooms, which is really what this is. But aside from saving money, you also want to have a room that works for all the staff, not just for your purposes here today. I know Mayor Norman wants to keep the system or the placement, the arrangement of things as they are and avoid shutting the room down. And no one's really argued against that, so that's good. But then there's the question, well, Mayor Norman wants to get staff involved. A great idea, because the room has to work for everybody. Now, our CAO, he wants to avoid making a decision that could be the wrong one, so he wants to have experts, consultants come in, and they decide what we need. But you don't know what you need, because you don't know what's available, you don't know what you want, you don't know how much you want to spend, because you don't know what you might want, so you want the consultant to come in, tell you what you need, but how can you get a consultant to tell you what you need until you can tell the consultant what you want? So I'm here to help you confirm what I think you want based on what you've said at meetings. And this is what it comes down to. I'll start with Mayor Norman. If we keep the room the same and it has to work for everyone, you want a flexible situation, as any business would, as any organization would. You've got a COVID situation now, it's going to go away, but who's to say there wouldn't be another one down the road? You want to plan for the future, you want to get the right equipment, but you want it to be flexible. So, correct me if I'm wrong. You want a system that will work in any configuration of this room, which means, and this has been suggested by Councillor Brown, Gidney, you want as much wireless as possible. You can buy a system, I sent you an email yesterday, I was a teacher, I retired 17 years ago from teaching. And in the school we had a system where you had a rack of laptop computers. It was over in the corner with all the computers plugged into the rack and the rack plugged into the wall, and it charged itself overnight, the batteries charged. Kids took them to their desks. They had enough battery power to work with them. They were wireless. There were mics in them. There were cameras in them. There was no need to put, you know, new wiring to all. Anyway, bottom line, you can get a system. If you agree that's what you want, you have to tell the consultant. You say, we want a flexible system. I don't know if the RFP's gone in yet, but if you want, you say, we want a system that will work in any configuration. We want a system that will avoid spending unnecessary money on adding outlets on floors and walls or whatever. And you tell them what you want. It's like when you shop for tires. You don't go to the Canadian Tire and say, what tire do I need? What tire do you recommend? Because if you did, they'd say, well, what kind of tire do you want? You say, well, I don't know.
Mr. Percy?
Yes.
You're well over your 5 minutes.
Okay.
We've all received your emails.
Okay.
I know what I want.
I do not want wireless in this room. I've heard from various people about it.
About what, sorry?
I'm not going to repeat that comment.
Did you say you didn't want wireless?
I'm just saying we've heard various things about wireless. We want a secure system for this room. We will know what we have our ideas. We're following through in the process that we have.
Right.
We've received all the information that you started to explain. That was all received, I believe, in our email boxes this morning.
Right.
We do not need it reiterated again. I thank you for your comments.
However, your
5 minutes is up.
Okay, can I just wrap up?
Your 5 minutes is up, Mr. Percy.
I haven't had a chance to ask
Mr.
a
Percy.
I just have one question.
One question.
Is the RFP going to make it possible for the result of it to give you the options at various price points so that when you make your decision on what the budget will be, it will be clear to you what you get for different levels of spending so you can make an informed budget choice?
I would hope that yes, things are itemized and broken down into details so that we can make our choice.
Okay. Well,
thank you.
You would hope it.
That
I hope
was
you
your
will
question.
Make it happen on behalf of the
That
trust
was your question.
Thank
Is there
you
any
for
other public question, comment?
And good luck. I appreciate all the work you're doing. It's not easy working in such a constricted format. Thanks again.
6.1, regular council. Approval of the minutes of council meeting February 23rd, 2021. Moved by Councillor Brown, seconded by Councillor Hawks. The minutes of February 23rd be approved. All those in favor? Contrary. Appointment to Diversity and Inclusion Action Team, 9.1. Someone would still like to make this motion. The recommendation in your package. Councillor Charlton.
I so move that Council of the Region of Queens Municipality appoint Phil Prendergast to the Diversity and Inclusion Action Team for a term to expire on October 31st, 2022.
Seconded by Councilor Hawks. Any questions? All those in favor? And Eric, would you like to stand up and give a wave? So this is Eric Levy. Eric is our new Diversity and Inclusion manager. He'll be here for a few years with us. His office is down the hallway, so stop in and say hello to Eric if you've not yet met him. Engineering and Public Works. Scott, would you like to come forward in case there's any questions? So we'll start out with the recommendation for 10.1 and then we can have discussion on that matter. Deputy Mayor Muse.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality award tender number SW-01-21 for the collection of solid waste from April 1st, 2021 to March 31st, 2026 to GE All Trucking Limited for the total contract price of $3,997,991.66, excluding HST.
Seconded by Councilor Charlton. So as it was noted this morning, there is a 30% increase in this. However, I know it was negotiated down to 30%, which is a good thing. Anything else, Scott, you wish to add?
Well, like you just said, we did negotiate it down. I think it came out at 42%. So we got some money taken off. What they're going to do is collect blue bags and compost materials bi-weekly, like they would curbside. So that's going to take one truck out of the mix. Some boxes get collected a few times, some two, some one. And that's where the extra cost came in. Running a truck, very little weight. So, yeah, we had to work at that one, but we get that down to 30.
So I understood, but Scott, so it's the collection of the garbage boxes.
Yes. Yeah,
that would change somewhat. The blue bags may not go as often as the regular garbage goes, but yet it will all be kept clean and inside the boxes.
Yes, every time they visit those sites, regardless if there's blue bags, they're outside. One of the rules of doing that, they have to keep those sites clean. Whenever they visit that, they could be picking up garbage. If there's four blue bags there, they will pick them up and put them inside the box. So we've ordered some signs, so each site's gonna have a blue box sign on one door, so residents make sure to put the bags in there, or the collector if they're in the grid. So they've assured me they'll keep that up.
Councilor Gidney.
So does that require bigger bins?
No, I should.
There's gonna be less?
It shouldn't, no, it should not.
Could that be a consideration? I mean, that there's a problem with that, so that it's.
Yes, and if need be, and one stipulation in the contract, we can add as many bins to a site as we want without incurring any extra costs. So that's a good thing to have.
That was a good observation.
Yep.
If there are one other, yes, Councilor Fancy?
We talked before about modifying those bins. They're still gonna be the same as they are?
The doors are, not sure where they're at with them, but quite a portion of the boxes have been modified with shorter doors, and that's working very well. That's as far as we've gotten with that, though. I think that's working good.
Any other questions specific to the tender? Councilor Brown?
Yeah, with the tender going up, and we're, I know we've got some other contracts with other municipalities, we bring their garbage in. Is that going to be carried forward to those units, or are we going to have to eat the cost on some of that?
You talking the solid waste collection?
Yes.
That shouldn't affect the other contracts for outside of the court.
Okay.
Those contracts are separate from this one. So
yeah.
Because this rises doesn't mean we can put all the other ones up there.
No.
There's signed contracts.
Oh, I realized. I just wondered if it was going to.
This contract is just for Queens County Collection.
Yes.
County.
Okay.
Councilor Fancy?
Also, we discussed here before, but up on the, for the Acadia First Nations,
right. That's
going to be part of this contract too?
Yep.
Yeah, there'll be curbside collection upon Hoofkin Mineral Reserves.
Yes.
Seeing no further questions, I'll ask for the question. All those in favor? Contrary? 10.2 deals with the residual waste from Yarmouth Clare and Digby, and this group, the state will keep us in line with a few others that have all signs that are going to expire at the same time. So there's the recommendation in the package if someone would like to make it. Councilor Romero?
I move that the Council of Region of Queens Municipality award tender number SW0221 for the transfer of residential solid waste from Yarmouth, Clare, and Digby transfer stations to the Region of Queens Solid Waste Management Facility from April 1st, 2021 to March 31st, 2026 to GE All Trucking Limited for the quoted unit price as set out in form of tender in tender number SW0221.
Seconded by Deputy Mayor Mews. Any questions of Scott, or Scott, do you wish to add any further explanation on that?
Well, again, the increase was pretty comparable to the collection one as well. This is the third contract that DE, under its new ownership, has negotiated. Last year, the organics transfer went up 37%, so these are fairly in line with those increases.
Councilor Gidney, you had a question?
Yes. So if I understand this correctly, we're paying that the waste ship from Yarmouth, Clare, and Digby. Why aren't they paying for that? And then we charge them to dump or whatever.
There is an extra fee associated with their tipping fee to take care of something of this transfer, yes.
So this would be a neutral cost to us then?
Well, it's not so neutral now.
Oh, that's right.
It's gone up. It's increased quite an extent, yes.
So, but if it has increased, would we not increase our fees to offset that? Or I'm trying to determine if Yarmouth are sending their waste here, and we're paying for it, it's going to cost us to bring it in. And that's why I need clarification. I don't understand how that works.
The contract's written in such a way it's a 20-year agreement, and it expires in 2026. There is no provision for trucking escalation in that contract. There is profit from that waste. I'm not sure what it was last year. CEO, how do you want me to proceed with that?
You want me to answer? So, as Scott's trying to articulate, we have a 20 20-year contract to bring waste from Yarmouth, Clare, and Digby to our solid waste facility. The agreement was negotiated 20 years ago. The only escalator clause in it is for CPI or something of that nature. And so there's, as Scott said, there's no escalation for trucking increases. We never, okay, I assume back when they agreed to this contract back 14, 15 years ago, the escalation cost for trucking wasn't considered as an issue. We were more interested in getting full-time, long-term tenants to use our landfill to make the economy of the scale work better for us. And so now we're in a position where we increase the cost to provide the trucking by 1%, 2%, whatever CPI is. But the reality is our taxpayers are going to have to subsidize the difference up to that 30% level this year in order to comply with the contract. Otherwise, we're in breach of the contract.
The only other way besides the CPI index is a regulatory change mandated by environment, and that's definitely not applicable here.
Any other questions? Councilor Charlton?
So those fees that Councilor Dini is talking about cannot be renegotiated until 2026, correct?
It's a contract made, it's a 20-year contract made by a council, a past council. So prior to, we've always paid money for the next few years. We're not going on the truck of it. Without any further questions, I'll ask for the question. All those in favor? Contrary? Carried. 10.3. There is a recommendation. Organic materials agreement. Deputy Mayor Muse.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve organic materials agreement with the Municipality of District of Shelburne, Town of Shelburne, and Town of Lockport.
Seconded by Councilor Charles. Any questions of Scott or Scott? Basically, as you all are aware, we are sort of a holding system for organics, and then it goes off further to the valley. Councilor
Gidney? I'm sorry to bring this up, but so they bring it in this time. They pay to bring it in.
Yes.
We store it here, and then we ship it out. So that is our cost. Does that work for us? Are we making any money on this, or is this going to be another loss for us also?
No, it's a, like I said, the cost is passed on. This material, and this should have been negotiated last year.
Right.
They did a one-year extension so they could restructure. As you can see in the description there. So we've got three separate contracts versus one last year with just one group of
municipalities.
They bring us solid waste, as far as that's concerned, it's blue bags, garbage, and compost.
Right.
There's not so much money made here, it's a holding thing. We store it in our transfer station, the organics. When we get enough, we send it to a further processing facility in the valley. So that's what this is.
So this is not a cost to us.
No.
Unlike the other one, which we had no choice.
This is clean, sorted organic material.
Right. Okay.
Thank you. If without any further questions, and I'll ask for the question. All those in favor? Carried. 10.4, recycled materials agreement. There is the motion.
Recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve recyclable materials agreement with the municipality of the District of Shelburne, Town of Shelburne, Town of Lockport, and Town of Clark's Harbor.
Seconded by Councilor Romero. The descriptions are there. Is there any questions or clarification? Councilor Gidney?
Yes. Ms. Please, you're working. Understand this is they deliver this to us.
Yes.
Is that correct? Yeah. And I did note it in the delivery requirements, but I just wanted to make sure that I hadn't misread it.
No, they deliver it directly to us.
Great. Thank you.
Councilor Brown?
If some of the recyclables that do come in are damaged or contaminated, do we charge them a different rate for like the tipping fees for garbage?
We
normally it goes into a, we do our every effort to recover what materials are there.
Right.
The rest of it is, it goes into residual waste, so the tickets are adjusted.
Okay.
And we do have the right to audit and send back.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We've done that before.
So if there was, so if our workers ever noticed, a lot of garbage in among the recycle, they do have the right to have an audit on that load, and then if they so wish, it could be sent back and rejected.
That's happened on
just as people get the rejection stickers as on your home. And Scott, you said that that has happened in the past?
Twice.
Right, so, and also notice through that contract that those units are responsible for educating the public, for making them aware of recycling, what's appropriate, et cetera. So we do do our best to work with them to ensure that we are receiving clean, proper, recyclable material. Any questions? Counselor Fancy? Yes.
Scott, you know, we've talked here before, but with the recyclable material, there's so many bags that are, that has something in it that, that doesn't belong there. People do a great job and they throw something in they shouldn't throw in, things like that. So do we actually take that apart, look at it, when it gets like that, you just have to throw everything?
There are instances where it's so bad that it does have to go in garbage. And right. How it works is it's dumped out, it's less hands-on as possible. And you've got people at different stations viewing the materials, and if they can get that stuff out of there effectively, they'll do it. And while, by the time you get to the end of the line, what's left is basically pure garbage. Okay? So they will pick as much as they can out there. They make every effort.
So what kind of percentage do you have? 10% of it? 20%?
It could be anywhere from 14 to 15, maybe 16% a year. It varies. You put your materials out on a really rainy day, I don't care what you say, that material will get wet. So you have to secure bags. And again, that's an education thing. But you have to be diligent with your education. We here in Queens are, other municipalities that bring materials to us, they have the same programs we do. So. But at the end of the day, that percentage, yeah, sometimes it can be better somewhere. Some years are better.
Perhaps one day for the interest of councilors, because I'm sure many councilors have not been had a tour of our landfill recycling center, perhaps we should arrange for a date. Would councilors be interested in traveling out? And it's quite interesting and educational to see how the recycles work, where the compost goes, the whole operation out there. It's a well-run operation. Would you all like to arrange some time to meet and go out there?
Yep.
All right, we'll gather dates and we'll have to date them.
I know
we'll
they brought the bus out one day and just drove around and visited everything that we're doing.
Yeah, I think what I've done in my former life, we met there and then stopped and got out and actually went in the recycle plant, had an understanding of how it worked. And good. So, question on 10.4. All those in favor? Passed. So we're a little bit early, but 10.4?
11.
Oh, 11, the tax extension bylaw. And then we'll finish. So this is our second reading on the tax extension bylaw. There is a recommendation. Councilor Fox.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens, Ms. Ash, municipality, gives second reading to bylaw 14 respecting tax exemptions.
Seconded by Councilor Gidney. Are there any questions? As you were aware, we went through this list. They are all the non-for-profit organizations within our municipality that the province still sends taxes too. We look after them as our gesture to non-for-profits. This year we had one deletion and we had one addition, half of the hospital foundation's building and it was only half of the value of the building because half of it is being used for a rental. So it's half the building which is used for the not for the non-profit use of the foundation. And I do not believe any counselors located or knew of any other newly operated non-profit organizations. If not, so we have that moved and seconded. Call for the question. All those in favor? Pass. And now, I'd like to welcome to the table Marilyn Hayes. Marilyn is our municipal solicitor.
Advisor, not a solicitor.
One of several in the province. Marilyn has a large district. I believe our CEO was once the advisor for this district.
Yes.
And Deputy Mayor Muse, Marilyn is probably going to just move his seat down there so he can watch, and then he'll be back for.
So you don't see my head.
Will you grab the lights on your?
I'll give the lights too. What's that?
Thank you.
Glare off the head.
Well, thank you for having me. As you mentioned, Marilyn Hay, your advisor, stuck with me. Happy to take some time. I know that there's a lot of important council business happening, and I'm not going to take a ton of time, but just really wanted to introduce myself. Been in the role for a year, but happy that the restrictions were lifted and I could come in person. It's very, very exciting to be back on the road again.
Do you want to just, Marilyn, just want to put that on full screen?
Okay. So really just looking through an introduction today to our new department, my role, and then just a quick back to the basics that we've been kind of doing now that new counselors have their feet under them, their new councils. Whether you have one new person joining or the exact same, you're still a new council being sworn in. And as I'm sure you're finding, municipal government is quite the system, incredibly complex regardless of the size and its nature. But my role is really a resource, and as your CAO knows, a resource to council as a whole, as well as the administration. So recently you may have heard that we no longer have housing. So previously our department was Department of Municipal Affairs and Housing. I'm guessing when your CAO was here, there was also a similar name. Without housing, we're back to Department of Municipal Affairs. Our support to you doesn't change in our relationship between my team and advisory services doesn't change. We just no longer have housing as part of our department. So recent changes are we have a new minister, Minister Brendan McGuire. You may have seen that or had contact with him. Deputy Minister Justin Houston and Mark Peck is still our ADM. So some new faces and some staying the same. I report to Nick Barr, who is our acting director of governance and advisory services. If you attended the new council orientation, you would have seen some of our faces. So as you're probably aware, municipalities are creatures of statute, so they don't actually appear in the constitution. They, I think it municipal government is mentioned maybe once, but through the MGA, which I'm sure you all have had some light reading and some nap times with, the MGA is probably one of the most important statutes that you will work with in your role. So one thing I'd like to mention, we are not the municipal police. So if you call our department or me, reach out, happy to guide you into an area that might help with answering the question through the MGA or other legislation, but at no point will it be legal advice or will we be policing your activities. That being said, you may open yourself to a lawsuit if you aren't acting within the constraints of the MGA. So that's just something to keep in mind, and it's important. We do get that question quite often. It's, you know, this municipality is doing that, or, you know, are we acting in a line? We can't provide advice, but we can definitely point you in the right direction. Some of the other areas that our department operates and provides support is in financial reporting. We work really closely with the administration, directors of finance, if there's any borrowing requests coming through, some strategic planning. We won't write your report, but we can help you have some of those conversations. Asset management and infrastructure and grants and programming. So this is just a quick snapshot of things that have occurred and our department has worked, been involved in, some before I started and some that are ongoing. So this is just to give you an idea of some of the recent election. Congratulations, new council. Our department was involved quite extensively in that. And just some other items there that I'm sure you are have been seeing come across the council table. So like Mayor mentioned, there's quite a large area that we cover. So our team, Governance Advisory Services, contains four people, and we all report to, three of us report to Nick Barr. So my area is shaded there in the purple, just a little bit closer, so from Chester all the way around to Digby. So I heard it's the best part of Nova Scotia. It's great, nice sunny day to come travel as well, which is, I appreciate you ordering that weather for me. So yeah, we're the main contacts for municipalities, and we really have a navigation role helping find, if we don't have the answer, we help find the person in government that may have it, provide information, whether it's sections of the MGA or if there's requests to borrow money, we help process those resolutions and get them before the minister for consideration. So we always say that a job description has all the things that you're supposed to do and outlines your job responsibilities. And at the bottom it says other duties as required. And I think that's where ours start, and the CAO can maybe attest to that, is other duties as required, and then kind of get into the nitty-gritty. So really it's a navigation role, I'd say, but we're here to support, answer questions, and help where we can. Yeah, so we do the training, new council training, and that's something that is ongoing if there's interest in doing that. We also help communicate some of the programs that our department offers. So this is just so you have, I feel like, over the period of your next 4 years, you'll probably see a fair bit of me, or at least have some contact with Mayor, CAO, and the rest of council as a whole. So I thought it was appropriate if I take 5 seconds and tell you a little bit about who I am. So I'm not from Nova Scotia. I've come from away, like many, I'm sure. I'm raised in southwestern Ontario. So that first picture there is actually Michigan. You could see Michigan from my hometown, so near Sarnia, Windsor area. I went to Santa Fe, so I like to pretend I'm Navy part Maritime, spending enough time in Nova Scotia. And I actually played hockey there, so I took environmental science and biology and outside of hockey. Like most East Coasters, I went west, and that's where those big trucks are, and north of Fort McMurray, went to Calgary, and that I got to spend a lot of time in the mountains is the bottom middle picture, and that's where I worked, kind of transitioned into municipal government. And the bottom one is a nice, beautiful road in Nova Scotia. So here I am. My wife is from Kentville, so kind of pulling us back east. And it's nice to be now home. So as I'll continue to work on being a very, as much Maritimer as I can, but I am a come from away. So that's enough about me. Back to you as elected officials. One of the things that we've been doing with council is just kind of going back to the basics of like, where do you fit? It's always a good refresher because this is really fundamental to everything you do and every decision you make. So like I mentioned, as you're sure you're having some of the conversations about solid waste beforehand, it's super complex. You're involved in so many decisions on things that touch the residents on a daily basis. But it's really important you know where you fit and where your decisions are being made. So we're just kind of having these conversations with new councils. And if you attended the training session in November, please don't fall asleep on me because some of this might be repetitive, but the spaceship, I think there was a reference made that this kind of looks like an image from Independence Day with the spaceship landing on municipal staff, but it's not to say that council's aliens and municipal staff are being attacked by any means, but yeah, so the spaceship is really, it's intentional that council is at the top, making the decisions But the whole picture is supposed to be representative of the municipality. So together, providing good governance to your residents, delivering municipal services as council sees fit of what level that service is. But understanding your role in as a counselor is really, really important to make sure that the services that you're providing are incredibly effective and what the residents are seeking for. So I'm sure as you've been making many decisions today and since you've been elected, you can't make those decisions individually. You have to make the decision as a whole, which is really interesting because there has been some perception that the mayor makes decisions by themselves. You know, there's some of those perceptions out there, but I think it's really, really important that as council you recognize that those decisions can only be made as a whole and together. So that's why in that first image there at the top, the mayor, the warden is not singled out because like the rest of counselors, they have one vote. The other thing that's really interesting is that you've been elected from your residents. So although if a director of finance or director of public works leaves, they can replace them. But you have been selected by your residents to make these decisions. So it's much, you have a very, very unique and important decision making authority with your one vote. So this kind of funnels into the CAO as your single employee. That's where you're passing all your information, making all your decisions, and it's their job to make sure that municipal staff are carrying out those priorities. Another thing that's a really important takeaway here is that council has one employee, and they're not the employee, or the staff are not their employee, just the CAO. So it's really important that that is highlighted. It can cause some inefficiencies if councilors are going around the CAO and directing staff or trying to, I guess, circumvent the system. So this is just really to highlight the fact that this is really important, this is fundamental to every decision you make and all of the work that you do is that council's to govern and do so as a collective where the management is to see all the priorities and strategies of council to be carried out. So obviously, one can't work without the other. So this is just, we actually have a training session that we kind of dive into this really a little bit more deeply on council's roles, management's role, and kind of go through some scenarios. And we'll get into that a little bit later if there's interest of council down the road to doing a workshop like that. But this is just really fundamental to recognizing where you're making high-level decisions and setting that priority so that your staff can, or so your CAO can make sure staff are carrying those out.
And Marilyn, the other thing that we try to do, and it's human nature not to, but we know we must as council, is the five up there, let's say two of them disagreed highly with a motion, but it was a majority motion. Then those other two get over and support it as a member of council. You don't keep it with you and drag it up. We get over it.
Absolutely.
And we embrace the decision of the majority council.
That's
the hard one.
Absolutely.
That's the hardest thing about being a councilor or a mayor, is if you do not agree, and you strongly don't disagree, for the betterment of the council, you just leave it behind and accept the majority decision.
Absolutely. Yeah, and at the end of the day, you're a team. You can only make decisions as a team. And that is something that's very interesting you bring up. Parliamentary procedure, super boring. People think it just ruins, you know, the flow and it makes it really informal. However, it makes the focus on the topic and not the person, which is really important to know that when you're in debate and having these discussions and ultimately making decisions, the decisions you're making aren't against that person, it's the topic at hand. And I think that's really, it's really important that you recognize that because the council working together, not saying that you need to agree, it's unhealthy to agree on everything. And it would be concerning if everything was just always unanimous going through and no debate. But working as a team, and like you said, keeping that respect is incredibly important. So that's great to hear. So this is just kind of a summary of breaking it down to the governance, the elected officials, you as council. You've got a municipal staff. So where you're leading as elected officials, leading the system of government, so you're basically dictating and deciding on what your policies, your bylaws, and your resolutions are in place, which will allow staff to advise on policy and direction from that. You're setting policy and strategic direction, so you're really setting the direction of the municipality, and it's the CAO's responsibility to make sure that that's carried out. So it's really, you know, that these things, there are differences, but they're so symbiotic that you can't have them mutually exclusive, or it just wouldn't work. I won't take up too much more of your time. The only thing I'd like to say before taking any questions is, like I mentioned, we did do the council training in November, shortly after the election, and we covered a number of topics high level. One thing that we're throwing out there to all municipalities is if there's interest in learning more about one of those topics, we're happy to either have, for example, if you wanted to learn more about asset management, Jennifer Duncan could talk to for 4 hours, 5 hours on it, but she is the go-to for that. So we have the ability to have a more in-depth conversation and some discussion and scenarios if that's of interest. If there's interest in camera or procedural, governing and management, you know, diving deeper into the roles and responsibility of council and management, conflict of interest, etc. So that's just more of a throwing it out there to council. It's up to you if you'd like to learn more about that. Really, we just use the council training kind of the agenda. Those are some topics if you want to revisit that, if there's interest there. I guess one more thing is any mistakes or anything I said today is definitely my fault and not the department's. And the last slide just has our contacts. And CAO has my cell phone number as well if anyone needs to get a hold of me. And like I said, for a resource to council, often we'll point you to your CAO first. Generally, the question can be answered there. But if that is something that you have a question of, your fellow counselors likely also have the question, so it's really important to kind of channel those conversations through. That's really all I had today, and it's nice to be in person and in the company of other humans in real life. So I again appreciate your time and look forward to working with you in the next the rest of your term.
And we did hear, or I actually had a phone call from Minister McGuire.
Great.
And I send an email to all of council, and he is going to come visit one day soon.
Yes.
Yet to be announced. So that's great. And before I take questions, perhaps before you leave, you'd like to maybe introduce yourself to our new finance director, Joanne Vino, because she may have some questions. You just want to say hello before you before you leave the building. And you're welcome to flow through and say hello to staff. But now this is council time, so any questions you may have of Marilyn Hay? Councilor Charlton.
I'm wondering if the training that was done in November was recorded. Is that accessible for us to go back to?
Good question. So we do have some of them recorded. We're working on getting them put up on the website, and I can send a link. There's currently currently a audit and a budget and audit training session that has the modules from beforehand, but we are working on getting those, some of the sessions, just their voice over PowerPoint, so you can do them at whatever pace you'd like to. So we can definitely send that out when they're available.
Great, thank you.
Councilor Fancy.
I know I've had the chance to call you on one or two occasions, and very, very approachable. Sometimes you try to call somebody, nobody gets back to you, or you've always been very professional, so. I always say to any of you, if you've got any questions, I found it very, very helpful and very, very informative.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
And for your information, Marilyn, we're 5 new counselors.
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I'm a first time mayor. And Councilor Deputy Muse is in the second term. And Councilor Fancy is probably in your fourth?
Third.
Seems like four, Jack.
If I may, Council, just to Marilyn, we've applied for infrastructure funding a couple of years ago. We're one of the few municipalities left that's still on the CCME wastewater hit list, I guess to call it, for lack of a better word. applied for funding through the infrastructure program a couple of years ago. We were denied, or we weren't denied, we just weren't approved, the new system. And so we did phase one. It's probably a 3 or 4 phase project. We did phase one fully funded ourselves, but we can't continue to keep funding large projects like that with our own money. So we still are on the list. We did send a letter to the former minister asking that the infrastructure program be opened up immediately with the current applications and not to do a new round of applications, to take the ones that weren't approved last time and start that. We did receive a letter back from the former minister Porter saying thank you very much. And so I guess today I just want to put on your radar for the new minister that if you're having a briefing or discussion with him, how important that is to our community. We did have a junior high school students come here and do some testing in some of our waterways and show that there is obviously negative bacteria in our waterways, which is expected. But that's one that we can fix. And we have the plans done, the designs done. It is one of those that's technically shovel ready. We can start tomorrow if we needed to. Pending the roads opening, of course. But we could start immediately. So just put that in your ear that if you do a briefing with the minister, if that comes up, that it is something that we need to do right away. But also we need that funding from other levels of government in order to make that happen.
And I appreciate that. And that's, as you know, CAO, that's a huge part of this role, is recognizing what's important to your municipality, so that when I am doing briefings or having conversations, it's there, right ready. So I appreciate that.
And I think we all agree that that is our most important project.
Yes.
That we need. It's a large outfall. Mm-hmm. Any other comments? If not, thank you, Marilyn. And you're invited to cruise the building if you want to say hello to some staff. We'll take a short break before we move in camera. Maybe 10 minutes. And we need a motion to move in camera. Moved by Councillor Brown.
Yes.
Seconded by Councillor Merrill. All those in favor? See you in 10 minutes, time.
That's a good way of doing it.
Okay, so it's 7 o'clock, so we're going to re-